thing called life.
Good morning, friends, and may I say on behalf of the staff of this thing called life, myself, and the congregation of Founders Church of Religious Science, we wish you a happy new year, filled with blessings of health and happiness, prosperity, and especially spiritual understanding. And I've chosen a subject this morning, The Only Way Is Up, and it appeals to me because for hundreds of years, people have used the new year to make resolutions. How many have kept their resolutions, I do not know. But the fact that we have the choice, the power, may I say the wisdom to make resolutions, reveals the reality that first we recognize the need to do so. And secondly, we feel at the time we make the resolution, we can do it. A woman told me she could hardly wait for the new year to begin. She was making 16 New Year's resolutions. I asked, did you make any last year? Of course, she replied. Did you keep them? No, but I will this time. It is true, we make resolutions and sincerely make an attempt to keep them. But too often it is simply an intellectual exercise that has no foundation. It is not based upon an inner knowingness that the resolution has been considered well and is going to be kept intact. The one resolution I'm interested in to achieve an awareness that through a power greater than we are, we can make this coming year the most exciting, most adventurous, and fulfilling year of our lives. Everyone can do this, regardless of a present experience of inadequacy, limitation, age, or other difficulties. In fact, the principle is found in the book of Genesis and the story of Abram. Abram sat in his tent, shrouded with gloom and despair. He was looking only down, and his world was very small. He was dwelling in the past. He had tried earnestly to found a nation. There were problems, interruptions, until finally age had revealed its mark. It seemed he was saying to himself, my dream cannot be realized now. All is over. The future offers nothing but the grave. I'm sure many in our world feel the same way today. They've worked hard to achieve their goals, and at times the goal is just within their grasp, then something happens. After many such disappointments, they can only look down. But with Abram, something happened that caused him to look up. The Spirit of God invaded his gloomy and morbid thoughts. Whether it was a voice he heard or an intuitive spiritual awareness, I do not know. But he heard the words, Abram, come outside and look toward heaven. And Abram did. He was told to count the stars, which he found impossible to do. Suddenly, he was aware that the universe was bigger than the little patch of ground on which his tent was pitched. As he looked up, not down, he became one with far horizons. The thought of failure, defeat, the thought of the grave was gone. His youth was returned, and the innermost desires of his heart came true. A new course for living was now providing a new effect. For that reason, I dedicate this study to the principle of forever looking up. This is the horizon of each individual, of you. In this coming year, what are you looking for, and what are you looking with? Are you really looking up with faith and courage concerning problems in your own personal life? Or are you looking down and closing your eyes to that healing belief that with God all things are possible? I believe we must take an enthusiastic, optimistic approach to our new horizons, knowing that the only way is up. There is a power within that can heal the body, the mind, and affairs, but it demands a new horizon, which includes a review of effects and a change of ideas and attitudes. Several years ago, I was flying from New York to Los Angeles. Leaving New York in the late afternoon, I observed from the window a beautiful sunset. As we flew, it did not diminish. Flying at high speed, the horizon seemed unlimited. The sunset remained. It appeared to have no boundary. May I ask you, is there a boundary to your horizon? That which you are affirming, that which you are believing, represents the boundary or the horizon of your world. In fact, it is the boundary of your faith, your belief. We are all aware of people who have a very limited horizon. Seemingly, they live only for the gratification of the passing moment. They rarely share or give, and never affirm a love of life or a love for their neighbor. They rarely look up with a desire to reach new horizons. And my, it's true, this is a poor way to live, isn't it? So often we are walled in by our worries and our disappointments that we're unaware that we do have the power to look up. Looking up is the only way to discard those thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that have made our boundaries so small. Remember, an intuitive voice told Abram to look now toward heaven. Now Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. And to enter into that kingdom, we must look up in faith. We must know that when we are thoroughly, completely convinced of an idea, which no person, place, or thing can oppose, that idea comes forth. Religious science dedicates itself to the possibility of new horizons for all. But we believe that we can never look to the stars or new horizons of happiness and understanding until we make a resolution that we're going to go beyond our own intellectual and conditioned depths of awareness. We recognize the importance of intellectual conviction, which is forever guided by law and order, but we also recognize the need for a real spiritual conviction, a conviction that brings health to the body, goals to the mind, a conviction that brings a new motivation, a new warmth and joy to our lives. Back of the objective world, there is a mental or spiritual world. The objective world is visible. The spiritual world is invisible, yet both are one. This oneness reveals the necessity that we cannot truly look up unless the intellect weds itself to the spiritual intuition. It is only in this way that we can truly become aware of the indwelling presence of God within. We must have a conviction that the life of God is our life. Therefore, God is right where we are. And even though we've made mistakes, even though we have directed our faith in a negative way, we can at this moment look up and affirm with absolute conviction that we cannot fail. There are two steps I suggest to you, which if understood and practiced will really let you know the only way is up. The first step is to have a definite intention. Don't make a New Year's resolution unless you definitely intend to keep it. Now think for a moment, what is your intention? You have the power to intend right now to heal a certain condition. This demands an intention to look away from the feeling of littleness or futility to a life that includes much more than you've ever experienced. Many times I've seen a man or woman, regardless of age, regardless of many obstacles, intend to find their rightful place in life. They persevered, and it happened. But always they looked up. I've seen the person very ill, surrounded by negative verdicts, intend to get well. They did. Do you intend to truly overcome your limitations in this coming year? You can, if you want to. The next step is to be consciously and constantly aware where you are directing your thoughts. Life demands that we use conscious direction. Many of us consciously direct our thoughts toward good when all is well, but direct them toward criticism, condemnation, self-pity, when things go wrong. Thoughts become things. Ideas constantly believed in manifest themselves. The technique of spiritual mind treatment or prayer begins with the realization that we do not pray at God. We meditate and pray with God. We know that the Spirit of God is within, is that power that causes us to look up, not down. We must remember that the only thing wrong with us is a certain experience through which we are passing. It is temporary. Now, it can be a desperate situation, a staggering experience, but it can be changed. The moment we look up out of the depths of despair, we automatically refute the wrong suppositions that have created havoc in our lives. The minute we look up and affirm with conviction, proper intention, and have a feeling of affirmative direction, we then know something good is taking place. And the result of our keeping our minds steadfast on the unlimited horizon of truth and goodness is the knowledge that at this moment, a new life for us is being manifest in the physical and spiritual world. And so, as I'm yet speaking to you, what needs to be changed in your life?
Is there a weakness? Certainly you recognize it. Is there something that is just causing your heart to be troubled? All right. It no longer be troubled. If you will have the intention, there's an answer to this. Because you can turn to the very heart of God, heart to heart, mind to mind, truth to truth. Now, this is looking up, isn't it? And so won't you at this moment now look up with me. Look up past the experience. The experience is real. I know that. But that experience is temporary when you have faith in a power greater than you are that will respond to your intention, respond to your faith, respond to your conviction. My, what a wonderful potential you have. I have that potential too, and I must do this, and you must do this. Why must we walk in such difficulties when we don't have to, when we can walk in fields of clover, shall we say, that bring to us the joy, the happiness, the inspiration that we need in mind and body and soul. Well, that inspiration is coming to you now as you look up. So look up with me, won't you now? And let those resolutions be kept. Make new decisions. You have the power to do it, and you have the power to keep them in action. Give thanks for this now. Give thanks. And it will come true if you do in this thing called life. And I know as we look up, we're going to receive blessings untold as we look up in faith and say, this is my intention. My intention is to have one of the greatest years of my life for my work, my family, for life itself, wherever I greet it. For all of thy blessings I give thanks, and so it is.